The gospel this morning comes from the Gospel of John, the 14th chapter. Jesus is addressing his disciples for the last time before he will go on to be arrested and crucified. Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I live. You also will live. On that day you will know that I am in my Father and you in me and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them." Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, "Lord, how is it that you will reveal yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus answered him, "Those who love me will keep my word, and my Father will love them, and we will come to them and make our home with them." This is the gospel of our Lord. You may be seated. Sisters and brothers, grace and peace from God our parent who nurtures us, from Jesus who heals us, and from the Holy Spirit who goes with us into the world. Amen. Well, to state the obvious, for many of you, it's graduation season, if not graduation weekend for many of you. Facebook news feeds are filled with loving posts from parents and graduates around the country. I love this season. It is the annual time of unabashed sentimentality, dreams, stories, and baby pictures all shared regardless of how embarrassing they may be. The season is honest about the gift and the fragility of life. So it's almost as if the powers that be of the Revised Common Lectionary knew this when they selected our text for today. Because today we tune in just a little ways into Jesus' graduation speech for his disciples in the Gospel of John. The speech is known as the Farewell Discourse, and like most commencement addresses, with all due respect to our speaker here, Jesus, this one is quite wordy. The whole speech takes up three whole chapters in the Gospel of John, 14 through 17, but luckily those powers that be of the lectionary gave us just that snippet to work with today. We heard the first bit of the speech last week, so now we find ourselves just a little ways in. Maybe we missed the first few minutes while we were sitting in the arena or the high school gym. We just ran to the bathroom, missed a little bit, or we were readjusting in our uncomfortable metal chair, or we realized we were sitting at the wrong spot in the alphabetical order of our class, and we were devising a quick strategy to save face. So we missed some good stuff about God's dwelling places, but there are more good graduation nuggets to come. Before the ceremony began, Jesus had washed the feet of his disciples. And now the disciples are just beginning to hear that this will be Jesus' last night with them. They didn't know it was a graduation ceremony until right about now. One of them, so Jesus says, will betray him, and another of them will deny him. In our terms, it's Maundy Thursday in the story, the day before Good Friday. So this farewell discourse really is a farewell for Jesus in one respect. Even if the disciples don't quite get the finality of it, he does. He will soon be leaving them. He'll be arrested and then will die on a cross for them. This time of shared meals and foot washing will soon be over. It's a commencement ceremony, of course, commence meaning beginning, because the disciples will soon face a new reality of life without him there in the flesh with them. And Jesus knows that will change everything for them. It will change their daily habits of walking and talking and learning with him. It will alter their sense of identity as Jesus' buddies, the ones who are always hanging around during and after his mighty miracles. And it will probably create some sense of uncertainty for their future, Jesus seems to know. His departure will leave them asking, "Where is God now? Who are we now? Where are we going? And what is our call?" Much like the questions of any graduates and any one of us facing a major life change in home or work or relationship. Who am I when my title has changed? When I'm no longer a warrior or a tiger or a patriot or a rough rider or a parent with a high schooler, or when I am suddenly not an employee, or after a death of a life or a relationship, when I am no longer someone's child or someone's spouse? Where is God when the places I have met God have changed? When I don't show up at Spirit of Joy on Wednesday nights or Sunday mornings anymore? When I've moved away from the faith community I've known for years? When I'm suddenly opening the Bible apart from the places and people who have told me the story? Or maybe for parents of graduates, you might wonder, how will my daughter know who she is in the eyes of God when she is apart from our home and our church community? How will she know how beloved she is when we are no longer there to tell her? In the face of all that life will throw at my child, how will he remember that nothing can separate him from God's love for him? How will he remember God's promise in baptism when we're not there to remind him of it? Or how will my children remember that life is about love for God and neighbor and not just about the dean's list and dorm decor? Well, it's at this point that our graduation speaker, remember that's Jesus, pulls out a stunning visual aid that the graduates and families are sure to never forget. Except I'm actually making that up. He didn't have a visual aid, but humor me with a metaphor here. Well, I will ask the Father, Jesus says to the graduates, and the Father will give you another advocate, a friend, or in Greek, a paraclete, one to be beside you and to surround you forever. You already know who this Spirit is because the Spirit lives with you and will be in you. Well, I'm no Greek scholar, but I think another translation of paraclete or Spirit advocate might be quilt. I will send a quilt, Jesus says. He didn't say that, but again, please humor me here. I can't be accused of blasphemy here. I'm telling you that he didn't actually say that. This quilt was created for you, Jesus said. It was cut and mapped out and sewn together in love with prayers for your well-being, with prayers that its colors might bring you joy and its fabric might gently cover your skin when you need a loving embrace. Prayers that on cold nights this quilt will give you warmth, and on lonely days this quilt will smell like comfort food and will feel like home. Not such a far cry from the Spirit's function for the disciples, the presence of Jesus in their lives when he is no longer with them. I will not leave you orphaned, Jesus says to the graduates. Even though we will soon be apart in a physical sense, you will not be alone. Wherever you go, you are forever surrounded by the love and life of God, Jesus says. I am in my Father, and you in me, and I in you. We are all inextricably sewn together in this quilt, God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the believer now who goes forth. And even more, everything Jesus has done is now a part of who you are, the quilt receiver. His love is your identity and your call. His works of love are pieces of the quilt that go with you. Going into the world to bring light to the darkness is one piece of the quilt, as Jesus did with his incarnation, life in the body. Another piece of the quilt is crossing social and cultural boundaries to witness and proclaim the many places God dwells, as Jesus did with a Samaritan woman at the well. Another piece is healing those who sit on the outskirts of society by welcoming them back into love and community, as Jesus did with the man born blind and the woman caught in adultery. Another piece is feeding the hungry in your midst, whoever they may be, as Jesus did with the 5,000. Another piece is walking on water. Just kidding. In case you were not paying attention, you're not going to walk on water. Caring for those who are in your charge is another piece. For those you babysit or for your parents and families who need your continued love, just as Jesus the Good Shepherd does for us. Another piece of the quilt is weeping with those who grieve, while also proclaiming that death is not the end of our stories, as Jesus did with Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. And finally, receiving with grace the gift of those who wish to bless you is a piece of the quilt, no matter who those quilts, those gifts come from, just as Jesus allowed Mary to anoint him. This is the work of the Spirit, inviting us into the life and work of God, making God's life our life. And like the fabric of these quilts, the Spirit is both a gift and a call, both law and gospel, both imposition and invitation, both passive and active. When I so proudly decided to title this sermon, Spirit Quilt, as the title is, I Googled the term to see whether anyone else had beaten me to this brilliance. And believe it or not, apparently the backpacking company Mountain Laurel Designs has some theologians on their creative team, because here you have it, a 28-degree spirit quilt. The spirit quilt comes in 28, 38, and 48 degrees, and it ranges in size from small to extra large, also comes custom sized if you wish. The spirit quilt can also be used as a poncho or a sleeping bag, according to John Abella of hikelighter.com, saving its owner the extra weight of both a jacket and a sleeping bag. Well, if the product reviews are true, the spirit quilt will keep you warm wherever you go, however far you have ventured from your trailhead or from your Subaru, which I assume you drive if you own a spirit quilt. The spirit quilt's fabric will protect you from the elements when it's hot and keep you warm when it's cold. And when your Subaru brings you back home, your spirit quilt will still linger with the scent of campfire, reminding you of your days in the wilderness, days filled with the exhilaration and anxiety of wanderlust. And like the work of the spirit quilt is both gift and burden. While its patented technology has created an amazingly lightweight product, it does still rest on your back wherever you go. And some days those 21 ounces, which is the size medium weight, might feel more like 50 pounds. The constant prodding toward a life of love and healing may be more than you can bear some days in a world in perpetual need of love and healing. So lucky for you and for all of us, Jesus the quilt giver will never leave you orphaned. He will always abide with you, sending his spirit to surround you and comfort you. The spirit quilt is not yours alone to carry, though it is a gift for you. So in this graduation speech from Jesus, if you're graduating from school this weekend or moving into a new stage of your life, remember his one point. You are never alone. You are a beloved child of God. Nothing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus. The life of God is a life of love for you and for the whole world. Throw the quilt over your shoulders anytime you need a reminder. For God so loved the world, God made this quilt for you. Amen.